If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Friday was National Stop Cyberbullying Day. 30 to 42% of U.S. teens between the ages of 13 and 17 have been cyberbullied. Harmful comments, name-calling, spreadies, rumors, sextortion. These are all serious things. And if you don't understand how pervasive it is, and if you don't understand how horribly harmful it is to kids, you are going to learn about it today on the show. And with us to discuss this really important issue are two people who have been nice enough to come into the studio today. Diana Hartman, she has more than 25 years of experience in education and leadership. She is currently McHenry County Regional Office Superintendent. She's held it for the last 4 years. She oversees 18 public schools, and she's committed to strengthening school safety. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And we have Richard Wistocki. He has 33 years of experience in law enforcement, 28 years as Naperville police officer, and he's now trained over 30,000 students, 6,000 law enforcement officers in cyber crimes. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a really, really great topic. Tell us about how common it is, Diana. I mean, just and how pervasive it is and how damaging it is to kids. I mean, you're with them every day. You know this stuff is going on. Tell us about how bad the problem is.
Well, bullying in Illinois school code is going to include severe, pervasive physical and verbal act or conduct, including communications made in electronics, directed toward a student or a group of students that has or can be reasonably be predicted to have these effects. It is very time consuming for schools. It takes a lot of training. We have to train not only teachers, our SROs, our school resource officers, our deans, our admin. We even have to go higher than that and train our technology department. This can start as younger grades all the way up to high school. We see a prevalent amount in starting in junior high, of course, and some of our grades in high school as well.
So both of you, you know, you could weigh in on this. You know, I went to school a long time ago, so we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have computers, and there was bullying, but it was very different. Why do you think it's so much more pervasive now, and why do you think it's so much more harmful? I mean, you know, you get a lot of parents, and I'm sure a lot of parents are going to type in their little messages to me, well, you know, kids need to just get tougher and get over it, but that's not how we need to look at it. Rich, what is your experience with this?
So my team and I, there's seven of us, and we go throughout the country. We teach, again, about 300,000 students a year. And the biggest problem is that less than 1% of those students' parents will show up for an internet safety presentation. Less than 1%.
Wow.
I have been to some schools, traveled across the country, one parent shows up. And they'll put it on billboards, they'll put it on pizza boxes, they'll send emails home, and no parent shows up. Why? Let me give you a stat. One internet predator can have 250 victims in their lifetime. 250. So when that student comes forward, as law enforcement officers, I train my SROs, that one student that comes to you, there's 10 behind that. So if you do nothing about it, and the reason why that 250 is so big, number one, our SROs, not a lot of
SRO,
them are,
you got it.
School resource officers,
yep,
are not trained in cyber investigations. Number two, parents suffer from a deadly disease that sets their children up for failure called the NMK syndrome. Not my kid. Parents fool themselves and they say, I don't need to go to that presentation because my kid would never take naked pictures of themselves. I don't need to go to that presentation because my kid will know what will happen if I catch them doing it. Well, all of that is just sticking your head in the sand. Our children, it's a proven medical fact that the frontal cortex of their decision-making brain cannot handle all the scamming that goes on social media. So when parents are not guiding and directing and monitoring, and they do the most horrible thing ever, allowing your child to charge their devices in their rooms at night, they will get sexualized and or radicalized in their bedrooms.
So all of that is extreme, but there's also just plain old bullying. And tell me, why is it that so many kids are so mean that they would do these things and make these threats? And a lot of it is racial based. Some of it is gender based. Some of it is physical appearances. And why do people, why do kids these days do that more often than they did in the past?
I think it's for status. And so when I go to the schools, I ask them this question. Let's say I'm in an auditorium of 500 to 1,000 kids, right? How many of you have received this text message in the last year? I click. No one likes you. You're so ugly. Why don't you just go freaking kill yourself? If I'm in an auditorium of 500 to 1,000 kids, I'll have 30 to 50 kids raising their hands. Now I'm saying, okay. Now, out of you kids that raise your hands, the second question is, how many of you know that the person who sent you that message in this is in this auditorium right now? Two-thirds will keep their hand up. These kids feel entitled, and they feel like there's no repercussion as to what they do. They can say and do whatever they want because parents ain't watching, and they have no training on what's going to happen to them if they get caught doing it. Right.
Is there something about the anonymity? I mean, I think if you say something, and I always use this example, you know, I see stuff in my texts when my listeners can get really nasty.
Sure.
They wouldn't say that to me on the phone.
Nor in person.
They would never say that to me in person. I mean, people don't talk like that to each other. You know, we all know that. Emails can be very impersonal, can be very quick-tempered and whatever. Is that what's going on here, too? I mean, because if I say something to make you cry, maybe the empathy that I have in my humanity would stop me from doing it again.
Well, a big part of this is the anonymous nature that the student doesn't think that they'll be found out at times. They're not so blatant sometimes to be, Joe sitting there and typing to whoever it is and known as Joe, but there might be a gamer tag that they think that they can hide behind. They might be able to make a fake account on some platform and send the message. And sometimes it can be, somebody that the child doesn't know as well on all of these platforms that the kids are on. So a lot of times they just don't think that they're going to be found out because they're hiding behind a veil of a user ID or username or a gamer tag or something like that.
Let's just talk legalities for a minute before we take a break. And I'm going to give out our phone numbers because I'll bet there are people out there who have had these issues happen in schools and with their kids, with their grandkids. Give us a call here, 312-981-7200, and text, but text nicely to 312-981-7200, and we'll get you on and talk to our guests. What does the law say? Just paraphrasing, what is illegal for a child to actually do?
In the state of Illinois, our cyberbullying law is absolutely horrible. And what it says under harassment through electronic communication, making any comment, request, suggestion that is obscene with the intent to offend. So there has to be some type of obscenity attached to the message. Now, what I just described, you're so ugly, nobody likes you, just go kill yourself. That's not illegal in Illinois. So I'm in my fourth year of trying to pass a cyberbullying statute. Right now, it's under SB 2741. Linda Holmes, Senator from Kane County, Jamie Mosser, and I wrote this legislation. So what we did, we took telephone harassment, the law that's been in place since 1990, and I added three words to it. Telephone harassment and or electronic communication. See, as a law is right now, I can't investigate it. And so we can't find out who it is. Because if it's not a crime, I can't get a subpoena or a search warrant. But if I can make this a crime, we can find out who it is and make them accountable for their actions.
Why do you think there has been any pushback whatsoever in the legislature? I mean, without getting into, the politics of everything, why wouldn't this be an easy one? If it's illegal to, and, you know, it's like stalking and harassing. If you can repeatedly do something to someone, that's stalking. You can, if it affects you and, impairs your ability to live your life, clearly that's a crime. Why is it, especially with kids, where the standards should be higher, not lower?
Well, number one, we're in Illinois. Okay. And there are other states, red states that have the same cyberbullying statute. We made it through the Senate with Linda Holmes' leadership. Made it out of committee. No opposition. We bring it over to the House and the ACLU comes in on it against it because they don't want to criminalize free speech. Well, telling a kid to go kill themselves is not free speech. I'm sorry. And they think that we're going to be arresting kids. We're not arresting kids. We give them diversion with restorative justice so they never do it again. That's what our Juvenile Court Act requires juvenile officers to do, is give them diversion called a station adjustment instead of arrest. We can give them an informal station adjustment and it will never be on their record. And I tried to explain this to the House and the Legislative Committee. And again, the ACLU chimes in.
You know, sometimes they're on the right side and sometimes they're on the wrong side. And I think you got to look at the victims as well as the potential perps on this.
Absolutely.
We are talking to Diana Hartman. She is the superintendent of schools out in McHenry County, the regional office. And we're here with Rich Wostocki. What is the name of your company, Rich?
Be Sure Consulting.
Let's talk a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about what to do if your child is cyberbullied. But let's skip to the idea that someone's being cyberbullied. You get to the bottom of it, right? You figure out who the culprit is. First of all, I want to ask you, Diana, what do you do as a school, and what should the parents and the child do to report it to the school? Then I'm going to talk about it in terms of law enforcement.
Well, schools are going to fall back on their discipline code typically. They all have social workers primarily. They can bring social workers into, the mix and talking to the student that was offended and the student doing the offending as well. We want to address both, but there's room to move, on what can be done that Rich will talk about in just a minute as well. But obviously taking screenshots, there's a jurisdiction issue too. Obviously, if it's on a school device, the school can see that and find that easily. If it's on an outside device, on a computer at home, on their phones, then screenshots and things like that are important. But the jurisdiction falls on the school's responsibility once that bullying has affected the learning environment. Then by school code and by definition, the schools are responsible to intervene so that bullying stops.
So it could be that a child is being cyberbullied off of school property after school hours, but as long as that's adversely impacting the learning ability of not only that student, but other students, then you can step in because of your basically capacity as a school. You're the parent in charge.
Correct. Exactly.
So, during the time that there's learning. So Rich, so we find who the culprit is, and what is it that you do? What is it that should be done to make this not happen again?
So all my SROs, I wrote the legislation for school resource officers certified in the state of Illinois. Part of that is that they have to be a certified juvenile officer as well. So not only do they have to go to a week-long SRO class, they have to go to a week-long juvenile investigator class, juvenile specialist. So part of that allows us under the Illinois Juvenile Court Act is to give something called station adjustment. Now, there's a formal station adjustment and there's an informal station adjustment. I train my SROs to try to do informals because there's no arrest. So when we find out through the process of who it is, we have to involve the parents in this process because it has to be a restorative justice.
And when you say restorative justice, lawyers know that, cops know it, but what does it really mean?
It means bringing back as to the reason why that happened. So we have to involve the community's needs, the victim's needs, and the perpetrator's needs. Okay? It's no longer punitive. We have to look at the entire environment of the person who did it. So what does that mean? So we have to make that person who was victimized whole. Apology letters. We make the person who did it watch a video and take a 10-question test. Write a 5-page paper on how cyberbullying affects teens and suicide. We make the biggest thing that we have to do is we have to bring the parents into, make them our ally, and make the parents understand is if we work together, we can make a deep, deep impact on your son or daughter. So we do things like having my parents watch my 2-hour internet safety presentation on YouTube. We have them put monitoring software for 30 days on their kid's device so the parent can watch remotely. And let me tell you, when the parents are in the device because now there's a reason to be, it's a game changer. So now we teach also the parents how to have that technology talk with their kids. And here's the break. When I talk to parents, I ask them, how many of you had a technology talk with your children that went something like this? If you do this, if you do that, I'm going to do this to you, I'm going to do that to you. So when I talk to the kids and say, if your parents had a technology talk with you like that, how many of you are going to go to your parents to try to get yourself out of trouble? They're like, oh, heck no, I will never go to my parents. So part of our job is to make parents understand that they have to have a technology talk with their kids, which includes, look, I am not only responsible for your food, clothing, shelter, and education. I am responsible for whatever you do on that device. Because in the state of Illinois, you own nothing until you're 18. I own you. I own the device. And there's no such thing as privacy for children because I am responsible for everything you do. So if you make a mistake on social media, maybe you said something you shouldn't have. Maybe you sent a picture you shouldn't have. You need to come to us. And I introduced the golden ticket rule, right?
All right. I have the golden ticket yes, here. Yes. I feel like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
Wasn't there a golden ticket or something?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So I'm holding it right now. And it's really pretty. It looks like it's a refrigerator magnet.
It is a refrigerator magnet.
So cool. It'll go up with my pictures of my cats. Okay,
yes.
Here we go.
Yes.
So now what is this golden ticket?
So we introduced the golden ticket rule. And what happens, say, look, you have to tell your kids if anyone ever bothers you. And so the empowerment we give the kids in school, no one has the right to make you do something you know you shouldn't be doing. No one has the right to make you feel bad about yourself. If this is happening to you, that golden ticket's going to be on your fridge, right? Anytime you're in trouble, we want you to grab that golden ticket and give it to your parents. And if you present the golden ticket and you're honest with your parents about what happened, there will be no consequences for whatever you did. Because parents have to be there for their children, right? Threatening them with their technology will cause a divide and your kids will never ever come to you. But if you have this technology talk about the golden ticket rule, if you're in trouble, grab that golden ticket pass, present it to the parent. There'll be no consequences for your behavior because we are responsible for everything you do and we're going to work this problem out together.
And I would imagine one of the biggest fears for kids has to be, you're going to take my phone away.
Absolutely.
You know, because I know Absolutely. That is the biggest punishment. Like when I was a kid, you know, like no candy,
yes.
no dessert or whatever, you know,
yes.
you have to be in by, you know, 6. Now it's taking the phone away.
Yes.
So, you know, the parents have to make good on that promise,
yes.
though, right?
Yes,
you
yes. know? And the golden ticket allows kids, they feel comfortable in going to their parents because they rely on their parents. And having that, I mean, all the way up until college, kids will use that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it is a break the glass type of thing. I don't know what to do. And there's so many boys being sextorted by the Yahoo boys in Nigeria right now. There are kids killing themselves.
Explain that one. Explain that one.
Yeah. So there's a group of scammers called the Yahoo boys out of Nigeria. And they pose as 13 and 14-year-old girls. They will play Roblox. They will play Minecraft. They will play on Call of Duty with these boys. And these boys are thinking that they're talking to a really, really pretty 14-year-old girl. And then they hit them up on their Snapchat or their Instagram. And then they go to chat with them. And then the girl will send them naked pictures of themselves. And then the boys go in their bedroom, lock the door, and they'll have a sexual session. And what's happening in the background, these Yahoo boys are taking screen captures of everything they're doing, plus their contact list.
Oh.
And then they will take one of the pictures that they got with this kid naked, and they will send it to one of their contacts. And the contact will say, dude, what are you sending me? And once the session is over, the Yahoo boy will get on as the real person and say, now you got 4 hours to give me $250 in gift cards. If you don't give it to me, I'm releasing all your pictures to all your contacts. So then you have these young teenage boys who the parents have never had a technology talk with them. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And then number one, they'll go get a gift card and they'll say, all right, scratch off the back. Give me the $250 gift card. Give me the code. And say, all right, please don't send any more. The Yahoo boy is going to say, now I want 300.
Yeah.
Now I want 400. Now I want your parents' credit cards. And then some of them said, I don't have any money. You know, you're going to ruin my life. I'm just going to kill myself. Well, make sure I'm on the phone when you kill yourself because I want to listen. And that's what happened in Michigan to that 18-year-old athlete. He killed himself.
Wow. Wow. And so, you know, for parents out there who think that it might just be, you know, a couple of bad words or a couple of harmful comments, this is devastating.
It is devastating.
I mean, it would be devastating for an adult.
Yes.
To have that happen.
Yes.
But to
yes.
think about a formative child who, you know, their reputation in school is everything. And,
yes.
And,
yes.
And one last question about we were talking a little bit during the break about how successful is this holistic approach, this idea of basically restorative justice as opposed to just a suspension or discipline, taking them out of school?
Well, what we did in 24-25, we had 1,000 diversions in the Juvenile Justice Online program. And what we found was 1% reoffended, 14% were in the diversion and said, I'm not doing this, they got referred to court. But 86% of the time, when you involve the parent and give them that restorative justice consequence, 86% of the time you'll never see that kid again.
Successful.
It's very successful.
Very, very successful.
Karen, one of the things I want to get back to is that I want to give your audience tools, right? So if, God forbid, any of this stuff happens to any one of your listeners or their kids or grandchildren, there are 5 pieces of evidence that we need to get to.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
We are here with Diana Hartman. She is the superintendent, McHenry County Schools, in Rich-Wistocki, who trains students and trains teachers and law enforcement in cyberbullying issues. Let's talk a little bit about the idea of the 5 elements that you were talking about. Rich, this is in terms of if your child is being cyberbullied, what are the 5 pieces of evidence that need to be preserved?
Right. So first and foremost, number one, I want screen captures of everything, the chat, the profile, what she said, what he said, the pictures, the videos, screen capture everything, print them out and make them a file. Number two, I need a screen capture of that email address or that fake phone number that's coming in and texting them, the gamer tag or the user ID of the social media. I just need one screen capture of the actual profile. Number three, now here's where people get sideways. In order to blow off these cases, many school administrators and law enforcement who doesn't know any better will tell the victim, oh, just report it to social network. They'll take care of everything for you. They will not. So if you want to find out who this is and make them accountable, do not hit that abuse button to report them. Because what happens is that account is going to go into a queue with the TOS team, Terms of Service. Now, if it's a violation of their Terms of Service and it's a violation of law, they may, within 3 to 5 days, delete that account. But let's ask yourself the question, does cyberbullying or sextortion only happen once? No, it happens 10, 15, 20 times. Now you're going to have an upset parent. They're going to go to the police department. I demand that somebody make a report. I demand you find out who it is. Well, they already reported it to abuse. So the patrol officer or the SRO will take the initial report. It goes to investigations. That could take 7 to 10 days. Now when the trained detective sends a preservation, search warrant, subpoena, but they've already deleted it, what are they going to get back?
Zip.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You just killed your own case.
Yeah.
Number four, I need a detailed type statement as to what happened and how it made them feel. Now, of course, if it's sexual abuse or physical abuse, don't give any statement. That has to go to the Child Advocacy Center. Number five, everything we just talked about needs to be printed out and saved on a flash drive. Not one flash drive, 2 flash drives, because sometimes cops lose stuff. Keep one as backup. You're going to hand those printouts and that flash drive to the officer to take that report. What do we do with the flash drive? All law enforcement detectives, and when they take my class, we sign up for the social networking portals. Every company has their own portal, but they want us to prove what is happening. So we have to put that flash drive in, put up the screenshots, give it to them, and that's what allows us to get the information in real time.
And without going into detail, you can find out who these people are. You can find out. Because I think a lot of people think, well, if there's spoofing and there's all this stuff going on, you can get to the bottom of it.
I don't care if they use VPNs. I don't care if they use fake phone numbers. We will find you if it comes to social networking and gaming online.
Diana, you were talking a little bit about the threat assessment. Can you talk to our listeners a little bit about what schools are doing and what they have to do?
So all schools in Illinois have a threat assessment team. Those are individuals that are already on staff at the school, maybe a social worker, a principal, a dean, an administrator, a teacher, somebody like that. And in my jurisdiction, I paid for training so that there's a trainer in every district for 4 years, meaning that when new staff comes on, that they're trained in the threat assessment process, because every teacher, every employee in that building really needs to know what to look for. So that could be a student that is social or emotionally withdrawn. It could be that they're talking about harming themselves. And when any incident of that comes up, then there's a protocol to follow. It has to be a certified evidence-based model as well to be upheld in court, that when that threat assessment team goes through those protocols as well.
So let's just a quick, what is your opinion on this new law? I've been covering it on WGN, bell-to-bell ban on cell phones from schools. It's going into effect soon. What do you think? Is this going to move the needle at all when it comes to cyberbullying? Yes or no?
No. I think it sounds great, but nothing's really going to change. The onus is still really on the school district for their policies and procedures of cell phones. And a student can do this at, 4:30 in the morning, 10 p.m. at night, 2:30 in the afternoon. It doesn't matter that, the kid might not have a cell phone in school. In the younger grades, I get that, but most high schoolers are going to have a cell phone or need a cell phone, perhaps for rides, things like that, to and from school. Parents are now tracking their kid. If you have a 16-year-old driver, you're most likely on 360 and tracking that kid where the car is. So, that kid's going to have a cell phone on them, not only for those reasons, but a lot of times in academics, we're using those in the classrooms as a high schooler, and teaching them how to be responsible with a device is really important as well.
Quickly, and before we go to school shootings, we only have a few minutes. Do you monitor your kids' phones? Should you be doing that?
Absolutely.
How do you tell them? 100. What do you tell them?
So, again, it's parents' responsibility to monitor their children. So there's two that we show. One is Bark for Android and the other one is Bright Canary for iPhone. And when we show parents, we give them free licensing to use it. And again, one of the consequences that we have, for kids who are involved in sexting, cyberbullying, and now possibly having their phones on them in school, because in the law, it says right in there that SROs cannot give discipline. But the school can. So what's that discipline going to be for having a phone on you? Again, we encourage the schools to use Juvenile Justice Online, because we can give an education as to why it's important not to have your phone on. And all over the country, all over the world, you see raising grades, less fights, less cyberbullying happen when you take the phones out of school.
Quickly, Rich, I know you've been involved in school shooting issues, and what is your intelligence when it comes to school shootings and the precursors, if you will?
Yeah, so in 2021, the United States Secret Service came out with the Threat Assessment Survey Study done by Dr. Lena Alathari, very comprehensive. And what she found was that 94% of the school shooters over the last 15 years, 94%, posted online what they were going to do before they did it.
Wow.
So when I saw that data, I was like, holy cow. And so I took my child exploitation experience. I mean, I've arrested over 300 predators in my career, right? So I took my knowledge of something called the Exigent Circumstance Protocol. It's a federal statute that says under ECPA, the Transcommunications Privacy Act, that when death or great bodily harm is about to happen or happen now, law enforcement can invoke exigent circumstance, and within 2 hours, we can find out who that person is. So when I read through the study, I was like, oh my God. So what I did, I did a three-phased approach. Number one, we can find out who this kid is within 2 hours. It's a mental health issue. What other studies have found, there's a common denominator among school shooters. They were physically, emotionally, sexually, or mentally abused in the home sometime. And what causes a rewiring of their brain and causes them to lash out on social media. And so when that happens, we're going to go to phase two. Where do our kids hold their deepest, darkest secrets? In their social media.
Right.
So once we find out who they are, we go in their social media to find out what their intent is, how much planning they did, if that's positive. We go to step three, which is actually getting a search warrant on their home to retrieve those weapons and bomb-making materials that they're trying to use.
And you can nip it in the bud.
Absolutely.
Oh, we had a lot to talk about, and we still could talk more, but you guys will come back. Diana Hartman, thank you so much for coming. Keep up the good work. And as the superintendent of schools, McHenry County, and Rich, how do people get in touch with you for your website and your program?
Sure. They can go to besureconsulting.com, or they can, if they wanted to book student presentation, parent presentations, or law enforcement, they just go to mycybersafeschool.com.